Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the premier worship conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
To borrow without limit and without thinking how we are going to pay this back seems to me stupid and immoral.
Those of us who are Christians are bound by Jesus' command to protect the least of these the most. So we ask, what would Jesus cut?
Adults sometimes speak of hymns as though they're impossibly hard for children to learn, but I think most of the time they're projecting.
Are you a damned sinner under the law? I hope so. You must be. If you aren't, leave the space. Christ is not for you.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I might be wrong about this, but I think the recent legalization of same-sex marriage in New York State came as something of a blow to the advocates of traditional marriage. They had really hoped at the last minute it wouldn't happen. It was a razor-thin victory in the legislature there in that state. And I think it did signal, at least symbolically, something to the opposition to same-sex marriage. Maybe we're not willing to admit it, but something happened here. Have we crossed a threshold that we can't return back over when it comes to the national mind on same-sex marriage? We're going to be talking about the lessons we should be learning from the legalization of gay marriage in New York State. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 7th of July. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Colleen Carol Campbell will kick off this hour. We'll talk about that subject a little bit later. Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn will join us. We'll talk about the need to revive the age-old and thoroughly biblical practice of catechesis, that is, instruction in the Christian faith in the Christian home. Dr. Mike Horton here in this hour of Issues Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
How does the victory of same-sex marriage in New York State highlight a problem that exists not only among Roman Catholic politicians, but among many Roman Catholic voters as well?
Well, it highlights, first, let me just say that the problem is, as you said, not only among Catholic politicians, but regular rank-and-file Catholics, Catholic clergy, some of them at least, and beyond that, Christians really of every stripe who take seriously the definition of marriage as a man-woman union. The problem in New York, at least the specifically Catholic nature of it, was that this was a push for same-sex marriage led by an openly Catholic governor, Andrew Cuomo, who, like his father Mario Cuomo, has been very fast and loose with following church teaching when it doesn't fit with his own liberal social agenda or his own personal lifestyle, for that matter. But it was a push led by him. It was a push supported by many Catholic legislators. And, in fact, the final decisive vote came from a Catholic state senator who had openly and very vociferously opposed same-sex marriage and really just totally flopped on his constituents and on his faith, you know, just coming out and saying he had reconsidered and he was going to throw in the towel and vote for the bill. So this was something that was very much pitting the Catholic defenders of traditional marriage, of whom, of course, there are many, and that was, in fact, the main block of opposition in New York, against other Catholics. And so it did highlight that break we see within the church, split, between Catholics who take seriously the church's direction on moral issues like the meaning of marriage and Catholics who throw out that church teaching when it conflicts with their own personal opinions or their sense that, you know, the gay rights agenda is more important than defending man-woman marriage. So that's a problem in terms of the logistics. But the wider problem, I think, is that so many Catholics, like so many Christians in general, who believe in man-woman marriage, are very reluctant to speak out publicly and boldly on this. And when they do speak out, unfortunately, it's often too little, too late. And they fail to organize effectively to block these things, because we know that polls still show that the majority of Americans are opposed to redefining marriage. But we're not getting much traction, and I think that's largely due to the silence of, unfortunately, many, you know, good church-going people who just figure someone else can fight this fight.
Governor Andrew Cuomo is only the latest of prominent Roman Catholic politicians who've been able to take political cover and break with their church's teaching legislatively, taking political cover behind kind of, it's an article of faith and I can't impose that on other people. You say it's not just an article of faith. The traditional view of marriage is also plain old common sense. What do you mean?
Well, that's right. And what I mean by that is this situation, and we hear that refrain again and again, and we hear it not only on this debate, but also on the abortion debate. Well, you know, as a Catholic, I'm opposed to it, but since I'm not representing only Catholics, I can't impose my views. You know, that's wrong on a number of levels, but the most basic one is on this issue, as with the abortion issue, you can make a solid, reason-based argument for what is the Catholic position without ever invoking Scripture, Catholic tradition, Catholic popes, bishops, any of it. You don't need to. And Catholics share this view of marriage with millions of Americans of all religious persuasions and none at all. And in fact, they share it with basically 5,000 years of human history in terms of, you know, when you look at human history and civilizations of every religious stripe, we see marriage defined as a man-woman union. There are plenty of variations within the rest of the definition of marriage, but it's always been about men and women and keeping them together for the sake of the children they bring into the world together. It's been about social stability and about the fact that it's a good thing when the next generation is protected by, you know, and the welfare of society and social cohesion is protected by having men and women united together and sort of kept in stable sexual unions as opposed to basically having things be a free-for-all. So that's what marriage has always been about from a civic, from an even, you could say, secular perspective. Now, that is a perspective that obviously the Catholic Church endorses. It's a perspective that most Christian traditions have historically endorsed. But the fact that the Church endorses it doesn't make it then a sectarian position. There's nothing sectarian about it. This is not, for instance, Catholic doctrine on the Eucharist or the meaning of the ministerial priesthood, you know, which you know, reasonable people can clearly disagree and do so on religious grounds. This is a clear, common-sense, natural law, human history argument, and you don't need to bring religion into it. And more often than not in this debate, as in the abortion debate, when we hear religion being dragged into it, it tends to be by the other side, by the people who want to push an agenda that doesn't make sense for the society they live in, and so their argument is anyone who opposes it is a religious fanatic, when in fact the people opposing it aren't even bringing religion into it in many cases.
I'm interested in your thought here, your opinion here. I've talked with many who stand on the front lines of defending traditional marriage on this radio program, and this has been over now the better part of a decade. They're keeping their chins up. But I get the sense that New York State going pro-gay marriage has taken a little wind out of them. And I'm wondering personally whether or not nationally, even though there's still 31 states that have constitutional amendments, nationally, whether or not we are crossing a threshold on gay marriage that once crossed, we cannot go back over. What do you think?
Well, it's a tough question. I wouldn't say we've crossed that threshold now, and I wouldn't say the New York decision signals that, because it was a razor-thin vote, and many of the constituents of these folks who endorsed gay marriage were not happy about it, and in fact may toss these guys out of office at the next chance they get. So it stands to be, you know, seen what the full impact is. Certainly the California proposition defending marriage, the fact that that passed was a huge victory. And we have to remember, of course, that victories against same-sex marriage never get the kind of media play and the sort of grand pronouncements about their historic importance that the victories for gay rights activists get. With all that being said, I think it's true that we see the polls, especially of young people, showing, you know, a gaining of momentum by gay rights activists on this issue. And I think, again, that's largely due to the fact that there's this large group of Americans that has a certain view on marriage but doesn't know how to articulate it, doesn't think it's their place to articulate it, thinks it's someone else's fight, thinks, well, that's an article of my faith, maybe I better keep it under my hat. And for all sorts of reasons, something that seemed unthinkable a few decades ago is fast approaching normative, becoming a norm in our culture. So I think we are in a tough spot on this. I don't think it's finished, though. And I know I was talking with Jennifer Roback Morse recently, who I know is a frequent guest on your show, and she was talking about how, when Roe v. Wade was handed down, we were all told, it's over, go home, abortion on demand is the law of the land, there you have it, said and done. And we know today that's not the case at all. It's more unsettled today than ever before, and in fact, we're winning on that front. So I do think we have to remember that there's no reason to give up hope. And in fact, I think that's what the other side wants traditional marriage defenders to do. And they've been telling us that since the beginning when they had nothing going for them, that, it's inevitable, it's over, just shut up and go home. I do think if we don't start speaking up soon, though, their prophecy may prove accurate. And so we've got to change the direction of that by being willing to speak out every day, wherever we find ourselves, giving the best arguments we can give, and not getting bullied into silence by people who still, at this point, represent the minority of Americans.
You can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the need for catechism and catechesis, that is Christian instruction in the Christian home, something that has fallen out of use and been replaced with a lot of nonsense programs that promise spiritual and numerical growth. Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn will be our guest for the remainder of this hour of Issues, Etc. Stay tuned.
How many Bible studies have companion Issues, Etc. audio?
Dr. Ken Sherb on our Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission.
The Christian's Mission takes you in 9 sessions through an overview of your mission as a Christian centering in the grace of God in Christ. A great alternative to a lot of quote-unquote missional thinking out there.
Order The Christian's Mission by calling 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Christian's Mission.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues, Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues, Etc. journal at issuesetc.org.